But I'm glad to be here again. I certainly appreciate the invitation to preach. And I'm glad that covetousness gets you nowhere, because Brother Ron Chris said he coveted my subject. It is a good subject. It's one that you run into quite a bit, especially when you first began to preach the doctrines of grace, if you're in the ABA particularly. If I believed that, I'd never preach again. If I believed that, I'd never witness to another person. If I believed that, I would never pray again. I've heard all of those. And I've heard them more than once. And probably every one of you who preach the doctrines of grace have heard them. Read with me again the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. I didn't know you brethren were going to deal with that so much, or I'd have chosen a different text. But, in fact, I'll tell you what, that's been read enough. I don't think I'll read it. Turn to Luke 22:22, which is a better text for what I'm preaching on. Luke 22:22. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Romans 8:29-30, a very unfamiliar passage of Scripture to us sovereign grace folks. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Then one other verse or passage, Ephesians 1:4-5. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, I want to do something I don't do very often. It's sometimes offensive to some people, and so I try to not do it very often, but there are times when it's important to do it. And that is deal with the Greek word that's translated predestinate. And the reason that I'm doing that is in the King James Version of the Bible, the word predestinated is only used with reference to those who are chosen. It's never used, the word predestinate and predestinated is never used with relation to events. And I've made the mistake of saying predestination only has to do with those who are chosen. But the truth is that the Greek word that's translated predestinate, it is composed of two Greek words, pro, which is the prefix, which means before, and then horizo, which means to mark out the boundaries or limits of any place or thing. To determine the bound, or to determine a point, that which has been determined according to appointment, decree, to ordain, determine, and appoint. Now it's evident from the word predestinate may have reference, or that the word predestinate may have reference to that which is marked out and certain. Whether it has to do with people or events. The death of Christ was predestinated. when they crucified him, the church at Jerusalem over in Acts chapter 4 was praying and said, "Of a truth against thee and thy holy servant Jesus," and I'm not reading child like it is in the King James, because the Greek word actually means servant, not child. "For of a truth against thee and thy holy child Jesus, the kings of the earth," then goes on the princes of the Israel and so forth, "were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." Now they did exactly what God had determined beforehand that they would do. I've referred to this before, but I think it's really appropriate tonight to refer to it again. When I was in the ABA, we had a BTC quarterly that was on, the lesson was on disappointments one night. And the writer of that quarterly, who was at a doctor's degree, an earned doctor's degree in theology or in whatever the school in Oklahoma gave, what was their degree called for a doctor? PhD, Doctor of Theology. He said God's greatest disappointment came when they crucified His Son. God's expectations were shattered when they crucified Jesus Christ. Well, my Bible says they did exactly what God had determined before should be done. Now, we're talking about prayer and predestination. I would remind you that Christ prayed, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He prayed that three times. But at the same time, on another occasion, He said, "For this hour came I into the world." And they were gathered together for to do whatsoever God's hand and God's counsel determined before to be done. Now, I like the fact that Christ always said, "Nevertheless, not as I will." I think in the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus was praying, God was revealing to the man, Christ Jesus, the real extent of what was going to happen at Calvary. And it caused him to sweat as though it were great drops of blood. And the human nature of Christ had a problem with what he was going to suffer. "But nevertheless, not as I will, thy will be done." And all of our prayers ought to be that way. In fact, I think that one of the purposes of prayer, and I'm not going to deal with the purpose of prayer, but I think one of the purposes of prayer is to get us lined up with the will of God. To get us submissive to the will of God. I recall one time when I was pastoring in Stuttgart, Arkansas, had a lady in the church that was a thorn in my flesh. She was such a domineering type person that I saw her one night. She wanted her husband to oppose something I'd recommended, and he wasn't saying anything, and she elbowed him. And about the third time she elbowed him, he got up and moved to the pew in front of her and sat there the rest of the service. He never did open his mouth. She'd made up her mind to stop what I was recommending. Consequently, it went over, but she was a thorn in my flesh, and one night I became so burdened about it, I couldn't sleep. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, I got up and I went to my office, which was 19 blocks away, where I'd be alone, because I knew if I got up and tried to pray there at the house, my wife would come in and want to know what was wrong. And I needed to be just alone with God. And I prayed for till nearly 4 o'clock. And I finally said, "Lord, I can't pastor this woman. I'm going to have to let you pastor her." Sunday morning, the people were amazed. They said, "You had power this morning you haven't had in a long time." I didn't tell them why. But I resigned myself that it was the will of God for her to be there. And like one brother told me one time about another person that was giving some trouble in another church, he said, God may have them there. You're a young preacher, and He may have them there to keep you praying. You'll have a tendency to get a little bit proud and arrogant, but if you got somebody around like that, they'll keep you humble and keep you praying. And I've tried to apply that in every situation. But it's evident that the word predestinate can properly be used with reference to events. In fact, let me say something right here because I don't have it in my notes. It's something that I thought of this afternoon when I was meditating. If you only pray about that which is not predestinated, just mark off your prayer life. Because God has declared the end from the beginning. And the things that are not yet done before they come to pass. Saying, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. I'm glad God is in control of all events. And we can say with Job, when we're stricken with some medical problem, when they told me I was going to have to have brain surgery back in 1993, I had it February the 1st, 1994, the doctor called me and asked me to call him back, and I called him back, and he started off, he said, now, he didn't know better, but he called me Reverend. He said, Reverend, said, I don't want you to get upset. I don't want you to, you know, I think he was afraid I was going to get hysterical on him. He said, you have a tumor wrapped around the nerve in your right ear. Well, I knew it because I couldn't hear. And in that ear. And I said, Doc, don't worry about me getting upset because nothing can happen to me that is not for my good and God's glory. And I quoted Job, he performeth that which is appointed unto me, and many such things are with him. And then he got concerned that I wasn't concerned enough. He said, now Pastor Camp said, Reverend Camp said, this is serious. I said, I know it's serious. Anytime you mess with my brain, it's serious. But I said, I'm convinced that God's in control. When I had the surgery, he said, I recovered quicker than any, and I'm a diabetic. He said, you recovered quicker than anybody I've ever done the surgery on. But he said, you had some help that I couldn't give you. And when I went back for a checkup a year later, he still talked about that. What I'm saying is that We need to recognize that known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Why did He know His works from the beginning of the world? Because He had predetermined those works. Now, He didn't know because He looked down through the future and saw what would happen, but He determined what would happen. So He who knows all things has always known all things, and He knew before the foundation of the world exactly what He would do with His creation before that creation existed, and He knew what He would do because He had determined it or predestinated it. Now my problem in this message is to show that we should pray for even those events that we know are predestinated are for things that God has already determined. Now, should we pray for the salvation of sinners even though God has chosen those who will be saved? Absolutely. The greatest champion, and I don't want you to think I'm setting Paul up again above any other writer, but when it came to the doctrines of grace, even though John writes about it and others write about it, I believe that Paul was clearer and more concise on these great doctrines than any other writer of the Bible. In Romans and also in the book of Ephesians and 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and so forth, Paul brings these things out very clearly, irrefutably. And yet Paul prayed. He prayed, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." His belief, his absolute conviction about the doctrine of predestination did not keep him from praying for the salvation of sinners. And it shouldn't keep us. First of all, let me, and I know that I'm covering ground that's not really necessary for most of you, but let's establish the fact that there are those people who are obviously predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. We read about it in the book of Romans. Whom he did foreknow, them he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And in the book of Ephesians, he talks about us being predestinated to the adoption of children. Ephesians 1:5. Again, this truth is taught by Paul in Ephesians when Paul is discussing the inheritance of the saints. In Ephesians 1:11, he says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." Predestinated to an inheritance. Predestinated to the adoption of children. Predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Secondly, let's notice that there are certain events that are clearly declared to be predestinated. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ at the hands of men was certainly predestinated. I quoted a while ago Acts 4:27-28. Let's refer to it again. "For of a truth against thee and against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." Everything that took place in the crucifixion of Christ was laid out before the foundation of the world in the mind and purpose of God. And determined by Him to be brought to pass. Of course, as you see from Scripture, these people were not delivered from the responsibility for what they did either. And by the same token, I'm reminded of when people say to me, "Well, I'm not going to preach anymore. If I believe what you believe, I wouldn't preach anymore." Well, why are you preaching? Did God call you to preach? I couldn't remember the name of a brother, but I remember a quotation in church history that when I was in school, there was this military general who was also a Baptist and a Christian and a church historian. And he had a young man. He believed the doctrine of grace, and he had a young man was one of his soldiers. And they were discussing the doctrines of grace. And this young man said, "Well, if it's already predestined and God has chosen certain ones to salvation, why preach?" His commander looked at him and said, "Look to your marching orders, sir." Why preach? Because God said, "Go preach." Why pray? Because Jesus said, "After this manner, pray." We're commanded over and over to pray. And the example is there that we're to pray for the salvation of sinners. I think about Jesus Christ when He prayed while He was on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And Paul, again, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is the sacrifice of Christ for the sins of His people was no afterthought with God." I was preaching at a conference one time up in Indiana, Elkhart, Indiana. The pastor up there had asked me to preach on a certain subject that dealt with end time events. I don't remember exactly how I was to approach it, but he had given me a subject, and I was in my introduction, I was planning on dealing with some things like I'm dealing with right now. And right before I got up to preach, he called on a brother to pray, and this brother got up and he said, "Lord, we thank You that about 2,000 years ago You decided to send Your Son into the world to die for our sins." And one of my points was, it wasn't decided recently. It was determined before the foundation of the world. My, that is so abundantly taught in Scripture, I don't know how any Baptist preacher could pray that way. We were redeemed by the Lamb of God who was very foreordained before the foundation of the world. Over and over again, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreordination of God ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. The Greek word from which determined and determinate is translated in this verse, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel, is horizo, the root. You want to know how to pronounce these words, ask Brother Roy Smith. I'm not good at pronunciations. I was taught how to read the signs on the words, know how to pronounce them, and I still don't know how. But the Greek word means to predestinate. Jesus also taught that His death was predestinated. Luke 22:22. I tell you, that's an amazing verse. "The Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he goeth, or by whom he's betrayed." It doesn't require an English major to understand what Jesus said concerning His impending death. He said it was determined in this verse. And it shows that the death of Christ, with all of its details, were determined and worked out and predestined before the foundation of the world. This predestination of events covers all that shall ever come to pass. "Remember the former things of old, for I'm God, and there is none else. I'm God, and there is none like me." Someone says, "Well, if I believe that, I wouldn't preach, and I wouldn't witness, and I wouldn't pray anymore." Well, you read in the book of Psalms, "I was young and now I'm old. And I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." And yet we're taught to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And as I believe maybe Brother Smith or someone pointed out, That doesn't mean that we pray, give us this day our daily bread, just sit down and do nothing. You go out and if you don't have a job, get a job. And work and earn in some way or another that is legitimate and honest. And make the money to buy that bread. There are a few occasions where God has just given people bread. Gave the children of Israel manna. And when they started complaining about that, He gave them quails until quail ran out their nose. But He doesn't always do it that way. But He still gives us our daily bread in answer to our prayers by letting us earn it one way or another. Isaiah 46, 9 through 11 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and the things that are not yet done before they come to pass." You know the rest of that verse. It's been used before. Now, prayer in the light of predestination. Consider the prayer of Jesus, as I've already mentioned, in Gethsemane. When He prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but Thy will be done." And yet He said, "For this hour came I into the world. And the Son of Man goeth as it was determined or predestinated." And yet He prayed as He did. On the other hand, or the Apostle Paul prayed for the salvation of Israel. I've already preached part of my sermon, so I'm going to probably quit a little early. But he prayed, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." But that did not keep Paul from declaring in the same book and in the same area of that book the doctrine of election and predestination. If God says go preach, we go preach regardless of what the determination. Let's leave God's business of who He's going to call and who He's going to save to Him. Amen. We don't know who they are anyway. I had a fellow tell me one time, I didn't think anybody would say anything like this. He said, "Well, I was preaching, but I didn't say anything about people needing to be saved because I didn't know if there were any elect present or not." Well, let me tell you something. You won't know next time either. You will only know after they make a profession of faith and prove by a godly life that they're one of God's chosen. So go ahead and pray. God will still do what He wills. And that's why we always, "Nevertheless, not Thy will, but Thy will be done." The Apostle Paul, as I said, prayed for the salvation of Israel, and yet he taught the doctrines of grace. And everything, look, you read Ephesians chapter 1. You'll see that all that's talked about in that chapter was according to the good pleasure of God's will. The fulfillment of His will. Consider also that Christ taught us to pray that His kingdom come. I kind of get the idea from the Bible and the promises of the Old Testament, particularly in the New Testament also, that His kingdom comes. And then if that was supposed to be talking about the millennial kingdom, just wait. It'll be here. We're taught to pray. John prayed in the book of Revelation, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." He will at the appointed time. But that doesn't stop us from praying. You know, I ought to encourage us to pray. Because Jesus said the Father knows the day and hour when the Son of Man cometh. And so we ought to pray. We don't know when that day is. But there's one thing about it. The God who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will knows exactly the day, the hour, and the second that He'll burst forth. So just go ahead and pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Do any of you here doubt that God has determined before that His kingdom would come? There are different ways and different aspects of His kingdom, but and God Himself at the time appointed, if He's talking about the millennial kingdom, will set it up. Daniel 2:44 says, "In the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom." Lastly, if all things are predestinated, determined, and purposed according to His will, we should still pray. Even though all things are predestinated, we should pray because we're taught to pray. Secondly, we should pray even when we know that God has chosen certain for special works. Someone alluded to this already or dealt with it. But in Acts 1:24, they prayed and said, "Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whither of these two Thou hast chosen." They were praying to find so they'd line up with God's will. God had already chosen who would take the place of Judas. These folks knew that God had already chosen whom He had put in the place of Judas. Yet they prayed that God would show them and lead them. And you know what? When you pray and really follow His leadership, you always end up at the same place that He does. We should pray because in praying correctly, we will come to conformity to whatever God has purposed and predestinated. And we should pray for sinners, even though we know that Jesus will save His people from their sins. That's absolutely certain. But you see, God has not only predestinated and chosen men to salvation, He has also predestinated, ordained, and chosen the means. Prayer is sometimes a means. And preaching is a means. And so we need to be sure that we not minimize and negate those commands of God and use the doctrine of predestination as an excuse. A lady came into my office one time and told me she was going to leave her husband. She had fallen in love with another man. And she said, "I can't help it. It's predestinated." I said, "Don't you blame God for your own lusts and sin. Don't you dare blame God." Well, she ended up not leaving her husband at that time. She did a few years later. I said, "Your Valium's talking." She was taking Valium. I said, "Your Valium's talking. You go back home, you be faithful to your husband." You know, Samuel knew that it would be a sin not to continue to pray for Israel. In 1 Samuel 12:23, he said, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, They'd already rejected Samuel as being their leader and wanted a king. But he said, God forbid that I should. And he could have gotten mad and said, okay, I'm not going to pray for you anymore. But he said, no, God forbid that I should sin by not praying for you. Now, God had already worked out what he was going to do. But he still prayed for Israel. Thank you.